Brother Brian asks that we turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and verses 18 and 19. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. With these scriptures on our mind, let's come to the Lord in prayer.
We welcome each one to the services this evening. We thank Brother Clay for his prayers and those who've been praying for the speaker tonight. And I'm certain you weren't expecting me, but I appreciate you praying. I thought we'd continue with the thoughts of the day about the New Year's. As it was already said a number of times in today's services, the New Year is a time to look back on the events of the past year. It's also a time to look forward what we can expect in the new year. Looking back on last year, I remember many good times, many times when God has shielded me from trials, many times when he has provided an escape for me. Looking back, I also remember a number of hard times in the past year when God has allowed me to go through trials and was with me during the trials. A number of us here, a number of our congregation this past year have lost loved ones, and they struggled with sorrow. They struggle with loneliness. A number of them have lost jobs and experienced financial difficulties and fears. A number of them face serious illnesses and perhaps weeks and months of doctor's office and hospital visits. Some struggle with depression and emotional problems, some with broken hearts, as they see family and friends struggle with sin. And we wonder, what will the new year bring? I was thinking about that in a recent prayer meeting. The lesson was from Hebrews 11. If you would, briefly, turn to Hebrews 11, verse 32 with me. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 32. I've been thinking on these verses for a number of weeks now. I'll read beginning at verse 32 in Hebrews 11. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to the flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. That's one list. Now pay attention as it goes on. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Two lists here in Hebrews 11. I don't know, as I read those two lists, I'd certainly be rather be included in the first list. Those that God delivered from trials. But as we think of these two lists of faithful people, we see that some had to face trials. And I wonder about the new year. I believe some of us in this very auditorium will face serious trials in the new year. Some will escape. God will provide deliverance, but some in this room, God may lead through a trial. So tonight, we'd like to look at that topic. We'd like to think on how to have peace in troubled times. When God chooses to lead us through the trials instead of delivering from them, how can we have peace of mind in those situations? First, I think we need to recognize that the only peace is found in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. In verse 27 of chapter 14 from the Gospel of John, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace, true peace, only comes from Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about that, I thought of a sermon. It's been a while ago that Brother George preached entitled, "Is Jesus Enough?" Is Jesus enough? Without Christ, it's impossible to have peace. Peace, as we recognize it, is not the absence of conflict in our lives. It's not the absence of trials and tribulation, but rather the assurance, the calmness, the rest that we have despite all the troubles and tribulations that go on in our lives. Jesus Christ is peace. Yet as hard times come and the trials come, I believe there are a number of things each of us can do to help us draw nearer to the Prince of Peace and have his peace. So tonight we'd like to look at five things we can do to have peace of mind in troubled times. Five specific actions, practical advice that I use in my life, and I encourage you to use it in your life when the hard times come. The first one I'd like to share with you is found in the passage that was read in the opening from John 14. Here we did see the disciples fearful. Jesus has told them that he's going away, and that announcement troubled them. They were afraid. And Jesus said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions." Here, in times of trouble, Jesus points them to heaven. And our first way we can have peace in troubled times is to look farther ahead, look to heaven. At work recently, we had to take a safety course on the computer about our driving safety. And in that safety course, they encouraged us to look out. Don't look at the car right immediately in front of you, but look far into the distance. And by looking farther out, they said your peripheral vision is improved and you can see clearly things are around you. We were to get our eyes off of the car immediately in front of us and look farther ahead. I believe the same application can be made for us in troubled times. Look ahead. Keep in mind that this world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers and ambassadors here. Our home, our mansion, our dwelling place is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says our conversation, which means our citizenship, is in heaven. Do you look ahead, or is your vision fixed on what's immediately in front of you? We often sing, "I love to think of my home above." But do we think of our home above? Do we remember the attributes of heaven? Do we remember the great reunion we'll have there? Do we remember in our Sunday school lesson today, we talked about heaven being incorruptible, undefiled, a place of restoration, of completeness, a place where there'd be no death, no disease, no separation, a place totally free from the presence of sin and decay. The best thing about heaven to look forward to is that Jesus is there. In Hebrews 12:2, we're encouraged to run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. What do you see when you look unto Jesus? We see beauty, we see love, we see sacrifice, and that's what heaven is. I've heard it said a number of years ago, not recently, that someone could be so heavenly minded they're of no earthly good. Maybe you've heard that saying. It's a lie and it's false. Only by being heavenly minded can we have a clear vision of this earth. Just as that driver's lesson encouraged me to look further ahead, to see clearly, we need to do that. There's a song that goes, I'm certain you've heard it, heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all of its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. For peace of mind in troubled times, I'd encourage you to look farther ahead, look towards heaven. The second way to have peace of mind in troubled times is to focus on the goal. I'd like to read a few verses from Philippians 3. Focus on the goal. Philippians 3, from verses 13 to 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What is the goal of every believer? What is the goal of every believer? Why are we here? What should we be doing? I believe the goal of every believer is like all creation. They're here to glorify their Creator, to glorify God. That's our goal. While there are many ways to do that, the goal is to glorify God. In these verses that I read here in Philippians, we get a sense of Paul saying there's still more for him to do. He's saying, don't get bogged down here in the here and now and the troubles that you're going through. He said, lay aside the past and all the burdens of the past and go on. Sometimes we must force ourselves to go on towards the goal, even though we don't feel like it. Towards the goal, towards the mark, pressing on for the prize. The prize here, I believe, is it tells us is the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's God's work. The high calling is God's work. We're to press on with God's work, glorifying Him in all we do. I'd like to challenge you with a thought. Can you achieve this goal of glorifying God in any place, at any time, whatever your situation in life, even in hard times? Perhaps our ability to glorify God shines brightest in the hardest times in our lives. Can we glorify God in the death of a loved one? Can we glorify God when we lose our jobs? Can we glorify God in doctor's offices and hospital stays? Can we glorify God even in imprisonment for doing God's work? One of my favorite books is called The Evangelists in Chains. It's a fictional book, but it's based on an account in the Martyr's Mirror. It speaks of a young man who was arrested for his faith in prison and being marched to the sea to serve as a slave on a galley ship. And along the way, his goal was to glorify God in every circumstance. In the hard times we may face in 2014, let us keep focused on the goal of glorifying God in all that we do and say and think. The third way we can have peace of mind in troubled times is to read the Bible. Jesus is peace, and the only antidote for the troubled heart and the troubled mind is to trust in Him. There's no other way to learn more about Jesus, to become intimate with God, than to read the Bible. In times of trouble, read your Bible. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23. Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23. Here in Hebrews 10, the writer speaks of Jesus as perfect sacrifice. And he tells us how we're to live, how we are to be encouraged in light of Jesus' perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Because of the finished work of Christ, we are able to draw near to God. We are able to be intimate with Jesus Christ. We are commanded here to draw near unto God, and we do this by reading and meditating on His Word. What are the most precious words of Scripture to you? Where do you turn in times of trouble? These verses are very intimate. They're very close. They're full of love. Perhaps you look at the verse that was read this evening in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Perhaps you look at Romans 8 that says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Perhaps you read one of the Psalms. Whatever it is, in times of trouble, draw near unto God by reading His Word. Another command we find in verse 23 that has to do with reading God's Word, it says, "Hold fast to the truth." All the promises of Scripture are true. Those we just read are true. In times of trouble, we often get emotional. Our mind runs ahead. We imagine things sometimes to be much worse than they are. In times of trouble, we need to know the truth and not rely on emotions and feelings. In times of trouble, read the Bible. Read it over and over again and hold fast to the truth. How can we count on it as truth? It says here, "For He is faithful that promised it." It speaks of God's attribute of faithfulness. What you read, you can believe. In times of trouble, read the Bible. The fourth way to have peace of mind in troubled times is to review all the attributes and the characteristics of God. This is something I do quite often when I'm discouraged and don't understand what's going on or why it's happening. Review the attributes, the characteristics of God. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews does. He reminds himself that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's loyal. What He says He will do, because of God's faithfulness, we're able to read His promises and have peace. What are the other attributes of God? As you review them in your mind, God is sovereign. He rules the entire creation. He's free to do whatever He chooses. Being sovereign also means He's not a silent partner. He takes an active role in our lives. God is self-existent. He has no origin. Everything else was created, but God was not created. He is self-existent. He's self-sufficient. He needs nothing to exist. He's eternal. He's immutable. It means He never changes. He's perfect. He doesn't decay. There's no change in Him. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. We need not make pilgrimages to holy places or mountaintops. Wherever you are, God is. You're never alone. He's omniscient. He knows all. He has perfect knowledge. He cannot learn. Nothing takes God by surprise. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's nothing God cannot do. There are others that I haven't mentioned. These are some of the attributes of God that I find most comforting in hard times. Perhaps the one that we rely on the most is God is love. The scripture is clear, God loves us. So as the days grow dark and we become worried and discouraged and fearful, I would encourage you to review all the attributes of God. It absolutely amazes me that the God that has all these attributes, he's all powerful, he knows all, he's everywhere, loves me. What more comforting fact do you need to know in the rough times of life? Review the attributes of God. The fifth and final way to have peace of mind in troubled times is to spend time with believers. In Hebrews 10, where we were reading, if we read on beginning at verse 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." As the times get hard, when we're discouraged, we are often scared, embarrassed, and we're often tempted to stay away from meetings. Stay away from the assembled brethren. And at the time when we're tempted to stay away is the time when we need it the most. Perhaps we lost a job or a sickness or some discouragement. When you don't feel like going to meeting, go to meeting. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. This command of Scripture to meet together is something I need now, something you need now, and according to what I just read, it's something we'll need even more as the days grow darker, as we face more trials, more tribulations. I experienced this during this past year, and I'd like to just take a moment and share it with you. It was a Sunday afternoon, and some events of the day left me feeling very discouraged. I was fearful. I was worried. I was perhaps the lowest that I've ever been in my life. And I didn't feel like coming to meeting that evening. But I went. As I sat there with my heart and mind troubled, my stomach was churning, I had a deep sense of fear and dread. Brother Matt Foreman stepped front and called for the opening song, the number 403. And we sang the words, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." And I sat there that night with tears in my eyes, crying out to God for grace to trust him more. Choristers, I don't know that there's many here this evening, but for those that are here, I'll give you a word of encouragement. Brother Matt was a minister to me that night by following the Holy Spirit's leading in the song he chose. You are making a difference. God is using the choristers to minister to the congregation. Keep up the good work. After the service, I met with two brethren poured my heart out to them, and they prayed for me and committed to pray for me. I left that service that night, a service I didn't want to attend. I didn't feel like going to, with a blessing. As I thought about it, as I thought about the message tonight, I believe I can honestly say I never attended a meeting when I didn't leave with a blessing. Many of them I didn't want to go to, but I left with a blessing. I challenge you, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful in attendance of prayer meeting? I must confess, we've slipped some. We've grown busy at home, and we've let other things take the priority of meeting with brethren. Are you faithful in your attendance Sunday morning? Are you faithful in your attendance at Sunday evening, even when you don't feel like it? I need to obey this command to assemble together, and you do too. What about visitation? Are you taking the time to visit others? I know you're busy, but here is another area when I've been blessed. We're surrounded by Christian neighbors at home. We receive a number of visits each week, and each time I'm visited, I'm built up and I'm encouraged. Sometimes we speak of spiritual things, sometimes we don't. But just knowing that I'm not alone, that others care and love you, that others are fighting the same fight that you're fighting, makes all the difference. The Christian life is never meant to be lived alone. The battle is not ours alone. Each of us are part of the body, and each one is needed and valued. Are you visiting one another? I'm convinced as the grays grow darker, times more troubled, trials increase in severity and number, our times together will grow sweeter. I believe many of the disagreements we have now over the minor things will go away as we find we need each other more and more. So let's begin now. The fifth way to have peace in troubled times is to spend time with fellow believers. I am confident that a number of us, maybe all of us, will face hard times in 2014. I am equally confident that we can have peace of mind, calm assurance, that we can remain faithful, trusting in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Remember, as the hard times and trials come in your life, there's five things that I do and five things that you can do. Look further ahead, think of heaven. Focus on the goal of glorifying God. Read the Bible and draw nearer to Jesus. Review the characteristics, the attributes of God, and spend time with your fellow believers. God bless you.